All right. Hey, Fritz Bergen here. This is the After Show, bloodandfaith.com. It's the 20th of November, 2022. There's a shooting at a homosexual bar in Colorado Springs, I guess last night, according to the press. They were celebrating Transgender Day, and some dude came in and started shooting the place up. Terrible, terrible. Five dead, 15 wounded, as far as I know. Nobody knows the motive at this point. Politicians are waking up all over the world, condemning the senseless acts of violence, condemning the gun culture, condemning the hate, and wishing we could all just come together in a big group hug. I absolutely condemn murder because it's the breaking of the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not commit murder. I wish to God one politician would get out there, one Pharisee would get out there and condemn this because it's the breaking of the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not commit murder. Full stop, end of story. Doesn't matter who they are. It's murder. Oh, no, no, no. They're going to get on board because they're homosexuals and transgenders. That's all they care about. They don't care that these people died. They don't care that it's murder. 600 people murdered so far in Chicago this year, and the year's not over. One city, 600 murders. Not shootings. Murders. Most people get shot and they live. 600 murders in Chicago alone. I wonder what Detroit and Baltimore have. Ain't no Pharisee out there. Ain't no politician out there condemning that. We're a sick culture. All right, moving along. This is not going to be a happy after show. It's not going to be a happy one. All right. Y'all remember the summer of love, BLM and Antifa? Burning down cities, killing people. Scrolling, kill all the whites on their sides of buildings. Can I give you a little follow-up there? Here we've got two of our best and our brightest, a man and a woman, who got them in photos with Molotov cocktails, throwing them at police cars. What a contrast to the shooting this morning, or last night, whenever it happened, which is horrible. So here's these people, Colin Ford Mattis and Ruju Raman. These are America's best and brightest. New York University Law School and Fordham Law School, working at prestigious law firms. They're driving around in the summer of love, the Antifa BLM thing, throwing Molotov cocktails at police officers. Weapons of mass destruction, trying to burn people alive. Well, guess what? They got a plea deal, but the plea deal wasn't good enough for the Biden administration. So the Biden administration gave them a plea deal to the plea deal, reduced them to a sentence of 15 months. 15 months. And we still got people in jail from January 6th. Oh, it gets better. Let me tell you what the judge said. U.S. District Judge Brian Coggan praised Raman for her commitment to fighting social injustices. Quote, "You're a remarkable person who did a terrible thing on one night. Even with the greatly reduced charges, Coggan still elected not to give Raman the maximum sentence of 2 years. While Raman claimed to have been caught up in the moment, her texts and emails told a different story. In one message hours before the protest, she said, I hope they burn everything down. Need to burn all the police stations down. Probably all the courts too. All right? We've come to the end of something in the United States of America. It's time to pull off the blinders and recognize it's over. It's game over. These are our best and brightest. They came out of our elite law schools. Fordham University, New York University Law School, and this is the judge, U.S. District Judge, praising them for their social justice efforts to fight whatever. The trick for the average person, I think, is to aggregate all the things going on and coming up with a pattern. Our senses are assaulted daily and hourly with these outrages, and we take them as a one-off. Whether it's federal bureaucrats defying Congress, defying the president, whether it's the worship of evil, whether it's the utter disrespect for the United States Constitution, I'm talking about especially the First and Second Amendments, political parties actively working to undermine the Constitution of the United States, actively working. The First Amendment is the Constitution of the United States. It's not a separate document. It's the Constitution. It's the First Amendment. And you've got Democrats and Republicans actively working to undermine the United States Constitution. Oh, they're just against hate speech. Calling somebody a hater is hate speech. Calling somebody a racist is hate speech. Calling somebody a Nazi is hate speech. Calling somebody a white supremacist is hate speech. These are the Pharisees. These are the hypocrites. These are the people doing the things they tell you not to do. Telling somebody they're divisive is divisive. They're utter hypocrites. And here's the church. This is it. God, I want to reach the church. This is right in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's the same people. It's the same MO, same tactics, techniques, and procedures. It's the same hypocrisy. Oh, we're against hate in all its forms, and we can't allow you to have an opinion. You need to be fired from your job. There's no place for you in with any employer or any school. You're a Hitler. You're a Nazi. You're a racist. You're a homophobe. You're a transphobe. You're an anti-Semite. They're hypocrites. They're Pharisees and they're hypocrites. They do the things that they tell you not to do. They spread hate. And it's not just words that they do. When they get people kicked out of their employment, whether their employment is a logging company or a university or a small town, whatever it is, to get kicked out of their bank. You can't bank here anymore because you're a hater. What did I do to you? And so their hate takes action, and they get depersoned, they get deplatformed, they lose their rights as a citizen of the United States of America. There's no innocent until proven guilty. It's not even a crime. It's not even a crime to have an opinion that's different from the ADL or the SPLs or whoever these people are, the Pharisees. And I'm telling you, one of these days, the pastors are going to wake up. The blinders are going to come off. And oh God, is it going to be fun? And they're going to say, how have we been so duped? How have we been so blind? How have we been so silent? How have we been so not understanding what's going on? What's going on today is exactly what you saw in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Pharisees are coming after the righteous, and they do all their moral posing and all their hypocrisy. That's exactly what's going on today. The Pharisees are around today. Same group, same people. The same MO, same TTPs, read the book of Acts. They go around, they stir up the rich people, the men and women of prominence. They stir up the rabble. They stir up prominent politicians, any politicians they can. And they spread hatred. They embittered the people against John and Paul. I mean, it's right out of the book of Acts. Pastor, preacher, you got to realize this. They go around and they'd make little snide remarks about Jesus. Oh, he casts out demons by the rulers of demons. Oh, Jesus is a product of immorality. They blaspheme the Holy Spirit on that one too, by the way. Jesus Christ, the conception of Jesus Christ occurred because the Holy Spirit caused him to be conceived inside of a virgin, inside Mary. And they blaspheme the Holy Spirit when they say he cast out demons by the ruler of demons, when in fact, Jesus was very clear. He said, I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit. So those Pharisees, those Talmud people, unforgivable sin. It's the unforgivable sin. Pastors don't see that. They've been blinded. They've been taught a lie. They've been taught these man-made traditions. So you got all these people out there, these moral posers, these Pharisees, these modern day Pharisees, modern day scribes. Scribes were the petty bureaucrats and the petty judges. Oh, well, you know, just like this case I talked about. Oh, well, you're a good person. You're trying to do really good things. And you kind of just slipped up a little bit with your Molotov cocktail. So we're going to give you virtually no time. That's 15 months without considering, you know, then you got to take off time served already. And then you got to take time off for good behavior. That she may not see any prison sentence. That's what a scribe does. That's a scribe right there. They have a lot of power. They have a tremendous amount of power. What kind of signal do you think they're sending to Antifa and BLM around the United States? We got your back, man. We got your back. Go ahead and burn. Molotov cocktails, those are good. Good things. What kind of signal do you think Joseph Biden sent to Antifa and BLM with his red sermon? Standing up there in front of the red lights, demonizing half of America. You don't think that sent a signal of violence to Antifa and BLM? These guys are hypocrites. They're Pharisees. It's biblical. Someday, pastor's going to wake up and read their Bible and they're going, wow, there's a correlation between the Pharisees of 2,000 years ago and the Pharisees of today. And they're going to realize it and their hair's going to get on fire. And I work to make that happen. And when they start preaching this stuff from the sermons every Sunday morning, oh, then we're going to get movement, but not until then. We're not going to get any movement until then. Until the preachers wake up. Until they unbind themselves with their silence. Nothing's going to happen and nothing's going to change in this country. We got a little thing here, a little thing there. But I'm telling you, when the preachers wake up, when the church wakes up, then we're going to see movement. And everything I've told you, I'm telling you, what I'm saying is true. You're either going to have a state, a nation that serves Jesus Christ. It'll be a nation that serves the Antichrist. Where's the howl and outrage from people that there even is a gay bar? How come there's no howl and outrage for that? That there is even a transgender day? How come there's no howl and outrage for that? That's evil. Those are satanic rites. It's the worship of Satan, as is abortion. It's the resurrection of the worship of Moloch, where you pass children through the fire. The Almighty says, that never even passed through my mind that you would do that stuff. How could you even conceive this kind of evil? And by the way, evil doesn't happen on its own. It only happens through people. Evil doesn't jump out of the space and just occur. It happens through people. That's why people will pay for the evil on the judgment day. Not some evil spirit somewhere. It's people. Evil only exists because people do evil. Church doesn't want to talk about it either because, oh, that's divisive and that's condemning people. I've been doing a series. Well, we're going through the Bible on Sunday mornings. And this morning we're continuing in the book of Acts. And I would remind my Christian brothers and sisters that God doesn't change. I'm the Lord God. I changeth not. I don't change, he says. Jesus Christ says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the source and origin of all things, and I'm the purpose and destiny of all things. Jesus Christ was there in the Garden of Eden. He was there on the Mount where the Ten Commandments were given. He hasn't changed. And when you read through Leviticus and Numbers, and the fierce wrath and judgment of God against men that did evil, it's full on. Stand aside, Moses, while I consume this people in an instant. I'll make a new nation out of you, Moses, which he does. So that's symbolism. He does that through Jesus Christ. And he calls the people, this harlot. This is a harlot. And he sends the plague, 24,000 killed in one day. And you read about the sacrifices, the blood, the massive amounts of blood that were shed for the temporary atonement until Jesus Christ came. And his blood is a permanent sacrifice, an eternal sacrifice. That's why you got to read Leviticus, and you got to read Numbers to see the wrath of God, to see the anger. Get a sense of the holiness and the justice and the righteousness of God. And it's gone. It's gone out of the church. It's gone out of the evangelical church. It's not there anymore. The church has invented Jesus 2.0. It's invented a new religion. It's invented a new religion. It's forsaken Jesus Christ. It's ashamed of Jesus Christ. And I'm out there, you know, quoting Jesus Christ. And people are in fits. They're in fits. You can't say that. Jesus Christ said it. And as a result, evangelical church, evangelical Christian, evangelical pastor, murder is normalized in cities of Chicago, Baltimore, Detroit. It's normalized. You know, whatever. It's the breaking of the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not commit. Nobody talks about that. Nobody says, hey, you know what? This is wrong because it's breaking that sixth commandment. It's breaking the Ten Commandments of God. Nobody says that. There's not one Pharisee out there will say that. You know why? Because they've forsaken the law of God, just like they did in Matthew chapter 15. They've already forsaken the law of God. Oh, we got our man-made traditions. We're just against senseless violence now. We're against hate in all its forms. We're against guns. Instead of just saying, hey, the Ten Commandments says thou shalt not commit murder. They won't do that. They've forsaken the commandments of God. This is the exact parallel to Matthew 15 that's going on today in the United States of America. Nobody will condemn murder out and out, whether it's abortion or 600 murders so far in Chicago this year, so far. And there's murders at a homosexual bar in Colorado Springs, and oh God, all the Pharisees come out, all the moral posers come out, oh, wringing their hands. But not one of them will say it's wrong because it's breaking the Ten Commandments. Not a one of them. I put that on you, church. I put that on you, Christian. I put that on me. Where's my voice been in the last 40 years? Why did I take so long in my life to find my voice? And there are no excuses for any of us. We're all guilty. And you tell your kids something. You tell your kids, hey, you know, this is wrong because it breaks the Ten Commandments. And their eyes blink. They're like, yeah, but. Wait, no, there's no buts. It's the Ten Commandments that are being broken here. That's why it's wrong. No other reason. And you got these Pharisees out there with their traditions of men praising LGBTQ. They're Satan worshipers. And they're praising these people that are going out there with Molotov cocktails, trying to commit murder. We're upside down. I'm going to put that on the evangelical church. I'm going to put it on me. Where's our voice been? Where have we been? Trying to be friends with the world? Trying to get along with the world? Hey, you know, I got these religious beliefs, and I understand you don't, but, you know, we can all just get along. No, we can't get along. Welcome to America in 2020. J6ers are sitting in prison. Molotov cocktail people are getting set free. The homosexuals are worshipped. Nobody's concerned that people got murdered. It's that they went after the homosexuals. That's the truth. So the Pharisees out there, the politicians and the Pharisees, all the same thing. They're out there to protect the homosexual and protect the advancement of transgenderism. They don't give two rips whether somebody got murdered. Don't give two rips. Come on, preachers, preach this from the pulpit. Get up there on Sunday morning and preach this from the pulpit. Look, there's nothing left to lose, guys. There's nothing left to hold on to. There's no, you know what, we can still make this work left. It's not there anymore. They've got the power. Oh, we're winning it back this next election. Yeah, and look what happened in this last election. Should have been a landslide. Should have been a clearinghouse. Well, we got, you know, we're ahead by one vote in Congress. How come it's not 150? It's over, and you hold back in order to appear nice and to play nice and to seem reasonable and try to find a compromise and to work within the system. They don't care about the system. They don't care about the Constitution. It's full-throated howls after the First Amendment. We have to stop hate in all its form. There's a new term out there. It's called stochastic terrorism. And these are the scribes at work. This is what a scribe does. He says, okay, I got the rule. I got the law. I'm going to twist it a little bit to my own ends. Okay, the scribes were able to. They had the potential of doing righteousness in the time of Jesus Christ. Very, very few did. We got scribes today. We got the same scribes. You got this little judge up there. Oh, you're good people trying to do good work. So we'll just give you a little, you know, we're just going to, you know, I got to do something because, you know, you kind of were throwing Molotov cocktails at the police. So we got to do something, but we can make this work. Scribes are evil. Evil pursuing evil. The Pharisees are evil. Same yesterday, same today. And the preachers are like, well, that was just, and they treat Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as a historical document, which is exactly where the Pharisees want to take you. This is what the Pharisees did with the Law and the Prophets. Oh, well, yes, Moses said those things, but this is how we're going to interpret it today, say the scribes and the Pharisees. So the scribes and the Pharisees, oh, yes, well, we understand that, you know, this is what the Constitution says, but that was written by white men that are racist. And so really we have to suppress the First Amendment. And we're going to find ways to do it semi-legally. There's your scribes. There's your Pharisees, the moral posers, the hypocrites who say one thing and do something else. We're against hate in all its forms while they're out there demonizing people. I want the pastors to wake up, okay? I woke up. I want the preachers to preach this from the pulpit. Well, that's divisive and that's controversial. Dude, your back's up against the wall. You've already bent the knee to the Antichrist by self-censoring and making them happy, and it will never be enough. It will never be enough for them. Trust me on that. Okay, was it enough for the Pharisees 2,000 years ago? Why would it be enough for them today? Saul got letters from the Sanhedrin to go out there and capture and kill Christians. Do you think it's going to be any different in 2022? Or do you think the book of Acts is just a historical document? Why do you think it's any different? Why do you think Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John are gone? You don't think they actually conspired to murder Jesus Christ? You don't believe that? And somehow in 2022, we're exempt from this as Christians in the church because, oh, that was just a historical document. There's only one way to fight this. You got nothing left to lose. Open up your mouth and speak, pastor, preacher. And you know what? If your pastor's not doing this, maybe you just as a Christian ought to open up your mouth and speak. You're not going to make them happy. Stop trying. Your silence is simply a step closer to what Stephen experienced, what Jesus Christ experienced, what they eventually did to all the apostles save John. And even John was thrown in prison. Where do you think he wrote the book of Revelation? He was sent to a prison planet. A prison island. Isle of Patmos. Look, we've kept our mouths shut. We've been patient. We've been quiet. Time to open up and roar like lions. And the posers in your congregation, the posers in your church, they're going to have to out themselves. Either they're going to side with the Holy Scriptures, or they're going to be good Judeo-Christians. They're going to be Antichrist. Judaism is Antichrist. The Talmud is Antichrist. A Judeo-Christian is an Antichrist Christian. Let me read you Revelation chapter 18. This is what I want the church to do. I want her to come out of Babylon. Revelation 18. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by a splendor. With a mighty voice, he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She's become a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every impure spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, and a haunt for every unclean and detestable animal. For all the nations have drunk from the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her." We're talking about the whore, the harlot, the great prostitute. "And the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries." Verse 4, "Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people.'" What is his people doing in there with the whore of Babylon? James 4:4, "To be friends with the world is to be at enmity with God." We've talked about it, the great deception. Even some of the elect may be deceived. Wake up, man. We're in the midst of it. The Antichrist is here. You say, well, when I see the Antichrist, I'll fight against him. No, you won't. You've already bent the knee to the spirit of the Antichrist, the people of the Antichrist, the brood of vipers, the Pharisees, the scribes. And you bend over backwards to get their approval. Well, I'm not racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, or anti-Semitic like Fritz is. I'm a good little Christian. No, you're not. You're a Judeo-Christian. You're sleeping with the whore. You've become part of the whore. You've become part of Babylon. Come out of her. Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you may not receive any of her plagues. For her sins have piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Give back to her as she was given. Pay back to her double for what she has done. Pour her a double portion of her own cup. Give her as much torment and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, I sit as a queen. I'm not a widow. I will never mourn. Therefore, in one day, plagues will overtake her, death, mourning, famine, and she will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her. It's the harlot, the false wife. And the Christians can be in that false wife, in that harlot, the great prostitute, Babylon the Great. That's why Jesus says, I'm warning you, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. You supplant the word of God with your man-made traditions, and you're well rewarded for it. Well rewarded. And because of our, let's call it immorality, and I'm not talking Joey and Susie had a little thing going on. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you're abandoning the word of God for your man-made traditions. And when somebody comes out and actually reads Revelation 2:9, reads Revelation 3:9, John 8:44, Matthew 12:34, Matthew 23:33, they're like, you can't say that. Imagine that. Imagine a preacher saying you can't say that. Imagine a preacher saying you can't quote Jesus Christ. Well, that's hateful and intolerant. Well, there you go. There you go. You're a Pharisee. You're part of the system. You're part of the system. You're part of Babylon. What do you mean you can't say that? Well, you know, that was out of context, and that was a historical thing. Yeah, you layer your traditions of men, go back to Matthew chapter 15, over what Jesus Christ said. And you're ashamed of the words of Jesus Christ. You won't say the word of Jesus Christ. You will suppress the word of Jesus Christ in order, because you want those riches, you want to have peace with the Antichrist. I don't know what's coming down the road for the United States of America, but I know it's here today. The righteous are punished and the evil is exalted. I know it's here today. The pulpits are, many are ashamed of the words of God, ashamed of the words of Jesus Christ, won't say what Jesus Christ said, won't take seriously his warnings against the Pharisees, won't let their minds understand the hypocrisy of these people that claim to be against hate, yet they spread hate. Oh, we're just trying to protect the rights of minorities. No, you're spreading hate. You're calling people Nazis and racist and white supremacist and fascist. And you're deplatforming them and you're debanking them. They're getting kicked out of the synagogue. Okay, go back 2,000 years. It's the same thing. Getting kicked out of the synagogue isn't any different than being deplatformed, demonetized. It's the same thing 2,000 years. Nothing's changed. The actors haven't changed. The characters haven't changed. They got different names. Satan likes to hide. Satan shows up in with a dragon suit on back in the Garden of Eden. Oh, look at me. I'm pretty and powerful. Oh, yes, you are. What should I do, Satan? The serpent told me to do it. Didn't say Satan did, said the serpent. Uh-huh. And so you got the Pharisees show up. The Pharisees are Antichrist. Always were Antichrist. Pharisees shows up pretending to be, oh, they're good people. They're righteous people. Jesus Christ said it himself. Hey, you look great from the outside. You look all great and moral from the outside. You're out there prancing around, all your moral posing, and you're hypocrites. Don't spread hate. Well, what do you think it is when somebody calls you a racist or a Nazi? They're spreading hate. They're hypocrites. I want you to add two and two, church, pastor, preacher. Add two and two and have a breakthrough. Don't be afraid. The cowards and the unbelieving will lead the line into hell. I've had to deal with this in my own life. And yeah, people are going to get upset. You turn on the light in a dark room and people start screaming. It's our job. All right. That's it for now. Hey, this has been the After Show. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. Out.